I want to chit-chat a little bit this morning, go over some things and some thoughts and about the resurrection. You know, this is what they call Easter Sunday. And that's okay. You want to call it Easter Sunday. That's what we've been accustomed to. But did you know that Easter only appears one time in the New Testament, the word Easter? Because really, it means Resurrection Sunday. And that's the hope that we have in Christ. But why should we believe in the resurrection? And how do we know that this resurrection stuff is real? And how do we know that it's really valid? Think about some things this morning about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and why it's so important to us Christians and in the lives of our family and people that we come to love. The first thing I would like to say is that we should believe in the resurrection because somebody told us about it. No, I don't know about that. Well, someone immediately replied, that's not a very reliable thing just because somebody told about it. Well, it might not be the truth of the matter that is most important that we know simply because somebody told us about it. Did you know that when Christopher Columbus discovered America in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue? Were you there? Was I there? No, we weren't there. But there were people who witnessed and wrote about it, and that's how we know about it. It became history. Now, we have far more historical proof of the resurrection than we do of thousands of other pieces of information that we we accept it for a fact a lot. But if we're going to take a stand on something, then why not on the historical testimony of countless people through the ages who have declared the validity of the resurrection? They were there. There was many brilliant people who believed and many brilliant people who did not believe. But you can't prove it either way. But what we do know is simply what people have told us about it, or more importantly, what the scriptures say. The other reason I think that we should believe in the resurrection, that it stood the test of time. A lot of things fizzle out in this world, but the resurrection is genuine because it has stood the test of time. It was not something that was here today and gone tomorrow. As long as life is on earth, people will be talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a historical fact. The other thing I think that we should believe in the resurrection is because we have experienced it. What do I mean about that? Well, the first central disciples did not believe in the resurrection because they could explain it. They believed in the resurrection because they had experienced it. One who had known Jesus in the flesh and had seen him die and now alive with them. You know, first Sunday of the month, we always do Holy Communion in United Methodist Church, at least at Bethel United Methodist Church. And we invite people to come up to the altar and kneel, and we serve them the elements of bread and wine. And after they have kneeled, they rise, and we say, "Arise now, go in peace, knowing that your sins have been forgiven." But why do we do that? Now, some of you might say, well, it's obvious why we do that. We get up because there's others waiting to take communion, and you have to move, preacher. Well, there's a little more to it than that. This is a symbol of our participation in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, as we kneel, we are descending unto death, and when we stand, we are experiencing the resurrection of new life in Christ. Yet it's a beautiful sentiment, and it's a symbol as it is, Holy Communion. There's got to be more to the resurrection than what we see. And I think the best proof of the resurrection is not what the witness said, but how they respond to what they said. They were a frightened band of disciples, huddled together in a house with the door barred. And that's the scene before the resurrection. A powerful, mighty witness thrust out into the world that the scene opposed resurrection. Now, it's been estimated that by the end of the first century, 500,000 people have come under the Christian banner. Now, that's the power of the resurrection. But more importantly, I think we should believe in the resurrection because of what the Scriptures tell us. Recorded in the Gospel of John, we read an especially detailed account of Jesus' resurrection. We read first and foremost that Mary Magdalene approached the tomb while it was still dark. Now, she didn't wait until the morning came and the news of Jesus' resurrection had spread around Jerusalem, but Mary came with expectation after the third day while it was still dark, while all were still without hope, while the pall of death still surrounded the land, and especially in her heart. And she found the stone had been taken away, and the grave had been opened. From there, Mary ran to the two other disciples and said, "Come, look." Peter, the disciple that Jesus loved, we know him as John. The first thing the disciples does is they enter into the grave, and the linen cloths are lying there, the ones that had covered Jesus' body. And he noticed that the face cloth wasn't with the other linen cloth, but it was folded up in its own place. Although the two disciples still didn't really understand the idea of the resurrection from the Scriptures, they saw and trusted what their eyes had perceived. And all of this from looking at the burial cloth. Now, can you imagine that the resurrection morning, perhaps as they did? Perhaps we see what they saw according to the prophecies. Scriptures such as that it's in Ezekiel and Isaiah and Daniel, Hosea had spoken. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and I breathed, and it entered into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. And the Lord said, "I will put my spirit in you, and you will live." Ezekiel 36. Now many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, prophesied by Daniel in Daniel chapter 12. Then Hosea 6 says, "After 2 days he will revive us. The third day he will rise up, that we may live before him." Just as God's Spirit hovered over the waters in Genesis 1-2, and on the third day brought forth land out of the water in Genesis 1-9, and then the next day, the sixth day, brought humans, Adam, up from the dust. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Now, Isaiah said in Isaiah 26:9, "My soul yearns for you in the night, and in the morning my spirit longs for you. But your dead will live, their bodies will rise, and you will dwell in the dust and wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Go, my people, and enter your rooms, and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while." Isaiah chapter 26, verses 19 through 20. And then in Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And also acknowledged by Job after his long, dark time on this earth. It says in Job 33:4, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." Now, the disciples realized that when the stone was rolled away and the darkness opened to the light, the cloth of Jesus' face had first to be removed so that the breath of God could breathe life into his body and raise him up. Gentle and loving, they folded the face cloth as a beautiful sign of the resurrection story. And as though God gazed down on his exquisite son and removed the folded cloth from Jesus' nostrils and mouth and declared, "Death is defeated," the breath of the Holy Spirit must have come powerfully into him. and had filled that cave with a heavenly light and lifted him up and stood him on his feet. Must be refreshed and restored in his body as the breath of God flowed through it, creating once again from the hands of death a new human being. And at that, the rest of the cloth must have been fallen from his limbs and to his torso to the cave floor as he exited the tomb. Now, after the two disciples left the tomb, Mary remained. And when she looked into the tomb, she saw, bathed in the holy light, two angels of God at both the head and the foot of where Jesus had laid, like an afterglow of God's breath. And when she turned around and she saw Jesus, his bodily flesh with life, and yet not long before she knew that everything that she had seen and had experienced has been changed. Now, today we come celebrating Resurrection Sunday, or Easter morning. The resurrection story means so much more to us, perhaps more than ever before, for we have been living as though that we've been in darkness, as though we've been confined to a tomb-like existence. Life, after we have known it, has stopped cold in this country. We don't go out to work. We don't go out to play. We hide our faces. We guard our lungs. We walk zombie-like through our homes and streets, frightened and covered by our own funeral clothes, so to speak, so that the cold breath of death might pass us by. That invisible, breath-stealing beast that we call Corona-19 threatens us and keeps us locked away for a time, but only a time. There's an old pastor that always would teach a message about this and that, and then he would say, but a Sunday's a-coming. Well, Sunday's here. And life is waiting, is only merely a time of waiting, and yet a time of expectation, for we know that no matter what, that beast has no power over us. If we seem to lose someone dear, we know that God's resurrection breath will raise them up, and those still waiting will see a new dawn. Soon and very soon we will see the King. You like my singing? Mary's faith kept her expectant and waiting, watching for something new to change, something miraculous to happen. Now, she may not have known, but on the third day she came nevertheless, still in the darkness, knowing that God would come through and life would be restored. At the moment of God's resurrection promise, God removed that funeral cloth from Jesus' face and breathed new life into his broken body. Up from the grave he arose, and the tomb was emptied. And as soon as Mary and the disciples realized what happened, that life had been restored, they knew that God's promises would be fulfilled. And yet life had changed. Never again would Jesus walk on the earth as he did before. Never again would they sit on the hillsides within drawing crowds of people. That time has passed. That was before. A new life, a new time has dawned, and with it, a new kind of spirit, a new kind of people. You see, you too are resurrection people. Watch and wait. People of God, be expected. The dawn is coming. And when it comes, your faith cloth will be removed, and you will breathe again. The spring that you see around us is manifesting in all ways, because life will start again. You'll again feel the bustle of people and cars, know the joy of relationships and friends. You again will be eating together, singing together, worshiping together, and loving together. But it'll be all new. Never again will life be quite the same. For our experiences of death and darkness changed us. We emerge not the same, but renewed and restored. We become wiser and more understanding about the world and God's amazing miracles. We become more joyful about life, more appreciative of everything that's in it. God does not restore us so that we can be the same. God restores us so that we can go forward differently, a new people, a resurrection people. Resurrection is coming. The signs are all around you. Wait and listen for the breath. Long for the change. Celebrate the Lord who gives us life and restores life now and ever. Why should we breathe and believe in the resurrection? Because it gives us the blessed hope that we have something much better to look forward to in this life, to be in the presence of God, and to experience new life in Jesus Christ. And we pray that everybody comes to church, knows that wonderful message of how you can receive Christ into your life. But these challenging times have kind of clouded our thinking. But we never want to go without sharing with people how they can receive Christ into their life. Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I know I need forgiveness. And if you're everything that they say that you are, I want that resurrected life too. Come into my life and be Lord over it in Jesus' name. And He is faithful to do so. God bless you as you go about the rest of your day and hang on to the resurrected hope. Amen.